This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've been asking for y'all's shout-outs all day long. Here's one from the 903. Kevin, I want to give a shout-out to Zach Wolchuk because he is absolutely great at sharing thoughts during the Rangers game and also remembered his late wife, Belinda, who loved baseball. Well, that's a damn fine job that you've done right there, Zach. Very well done. And from the 903, just want to give a shout-out to my wife. She just started teaching in a new district at Farmersville ISD, teaching special needs pre-K. She is a rock star.
I would like to make a comment on Zach Wolchuk, if I can talk. Pretty fun to hang out with, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like at parties and stuff. That dude likes to party. Okay. He's easy to party with, if you will.
Yeah.
And he's pretty pretty interesting to watch on dates.
Like, oh!
You get a chance to watch Zach Wolchuk on a date. Do it. All right. Okay. If you see Zach Wolchuk out at any point during here in DFW,
don't
and you're
make
like,
it evident, right?
Like maybe he's at Knife or okay. Maybe he's at Mexican Bar Company. You know, one of those two places. Sure. I don't know where.
Sure.
And then you're like, oh, there's Zach Wolchuk. Just observe him in his natural habitat doing okay. That thing.
Dating. Now it's time to observe Corey in his natural habitat of the C block.
And see also if Bobby's around during that moment. The all right.
He will be.
The I did want to can I have a shout out too? While
sure.
We're in the C block here. Shout out to the wife and Lucy. They're rocking up there to Cleveland one more time. They'll be going every 2 months, it looks like, for the next 2 years for this trial study.
Wow.
So we got it. This is a 2-year trial
excited
study.
About this?
I don't love them having to fly up to Cleveland every couple months, but yes, if everything goes well, the medicine that she was on during the last trial trial thing. It worked. It looked like it was working very well. So if it works over this 2-year period, this would be a very impactful 2 years for Lucy, because this is that window where with ESES, that's the type of epilepsy she has. This is that window where she could lose a lot of motor skills, lose a lot of things that she's already learned. So there's a lot of things that could go wrong here. So this is a positive time. So hopefully everything goes very well there. All right.
That's a great shout out.
Now let's get into some more C block with the Dallas Cowboys. My question to you guys is, at what point in the season does Micah Parsons become just a defensive edge, a defensive end, and no longer a linebacker?
I don't think it happens this year. I think he still does the
hybrid.
I don't know if it's 50-50, 60-40, but I think he does it all this year again.
He is becoming so good. And this is just in practice against Terrence Steele, but we kept questioning, Mike, is Terrence Steele just bad, or does that mean Micah Parsons is that good? Then he goes to Denver, and he does exactly what he's been doing this entire time. And maybe he just is always at full speed and NFL speed, but he is just so – Mickey said it this morning, nobody can stop him. At that point, you do have to consider, I have Anthony Barr. I have these other options at linebacker. Man, if nobody can stop this guy, I might as well keep running him out there to go do this thing. That's so, Kevin. Mike says it's not going to happen this year. How far?
I wonder. I think Mike is. That's probably true. But part of me wonders. We get through, let's say, 8 games. Jabril Cox, he can play, and he's healthy. Leighton Vander Esch, he can play, and he's healthy. Same with Anthony Barr. I wonder at that point if you're like, you know what? We don't even use 3 full-time linebackers, but we feel like we have 3 linebackers that we can, you know, switch in and out. And let's turn them loose. Like, you heard Mickey earlier when he was talking about the joint practice. He was like, the guy is unblockable. And so that is just like a marquee talent that I think about. You know, we were talking about if the Bears are going to move on from Roquan Smith just because of their skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Roquan Smith's a damn good player. He went out on the open market. Let's say there was no salary cap or anything like that. And then Micah Parsons went out on the open market. Like, I feel like most everyone would pick Micah Parsons because of that additional pass rush skill.
Okay. All right. This usually we stick to Cowboys here.
Oh.
But Kevin, I didn't see this story so far in any of the topics we've discussed. Have you heard about what happened with DJ Moore?
No.
I saw that he went into the stands to try to help fans out that weren't happy with each
other.
There was
a fan fest with Carolina. Whoa. And DJ Moore went up into it as a fight was getting ready to break out. DJ Moore steps up into it and says, "We're at a family function," and gets everybody to chill out and stop fighting. I think I might be drafting DJ Moore just because on character alone.
Wow.
This year. So it was a good job on DJ Moore to go out there and stop a fan fight in the stands before it could even start.
And your Baker Mayfield throwing him. Well, Sam Darnold.
I changed my mind.
Do you think he just made really reasoned points, or do you think they were like, holy crap,
it's DJ Moore.
Should probably stop.
I think more than anything, they just saw that it was one of their favorite football players, and they were like, can we get an autograph?
That's what I think, too, because I feel like logic doesn't always rule the day in a fight. Like, I feel like a lot of individuals, or at least I'll speak for myself, you get to a point where, like, you're just angry and you don't have that release valve for the anger. And, like, logic and reason is not what's going to save the day.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Punching something.
Punching things always.
I'm wondering, what's the penalty if you fight at a game? Is kind of like crowding of stuff too much, and they're just like, you just get out of here, you're kicked out of the game, or do they really arrest you? Because
I would presume somebody can press charges.
Like, think about how much money he might have saved those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I would presume
court, from fines, from community service, from what, you know. I mean, DJ Moore just helped those guys out a whole bunch.
Yeah, that should be tacked into his contract.
Or maybe nowadays it's just like, yeah, you guys get out of here.
Yeah.
Visually, I'm honestly not sure.
I don't have a clue on that. All right, other question here in the C block. The Cowboys got beat up and bullied by Denver in practice number one. Are you guys concerned about them being more talk about being bullies and that mindset than they are actually being about that this year? Because I have some.
Because you're worried about that practice?
Just the simple idea that, hey, we're all veterans and we don't have to worry about that stuff yet. You know, let's wait till the season and then we'll ramp up and all that. I'm concerned that this isn't a mentally, physically tough enough football team right now. And I don't know. I think Micah's in for it. I don't know who else is. I'm very concerned about this group right now. Is it too early? Am I overreacting too early?
I don't think you're overreacting because it did happen in the playoffs, but I feel like it's seven guys. It's only seven guys. It's your five offensive linemen and it's your defensive tackles. I know there's more backup defensive tackles, but I feel like you're fine with DeMarcus Lawrence. You're fine with Micah Parsons. I just feel like the bullying happens in the middle and with your offensive linemen. So I think there's seven/10/ players that have that on them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Maybe you're right there. Because Zeke does need the people in front of him to block and be bullies, right? Like, that's what Zeke needs, is somebody up there pushing him around so he can make the right cuts. Because if they're in the backfield before Zeke can even make his read, that's a problem. Like, Zeke running behind a line and he looks up and he goes, hold on, this is a tackle for loss already? That's a problem if it's going to happen consistently. So I think that, like, I'm just not sure how I feel about Tyler Biotich. At the moment, or Baidez, or Badass, whatever we want to call him.
I don't know if we can call him Badass again yet.
I know how I feel about Zach Martin, but Tyler Smith is, I think, going to be very good, but the middle of the offensive line was getting powered through during practices and didn't stop whenever they went to Denver. And then whenever Denver said, hey, we're going to knock Zeke to the ground, everybody was like, why would you do that, man? Instead of firing back and saying, you know what, we're just going to go beat you up in practice today and make this a miserable practice for you.
I'd be saying his last name is below Av.
Oh, man. That is obviously very clever. Mm-hmm. I understand your question. I'm going to say it's too early, but – You know, that's why I asked Mickey that question, is because, like, I had a couple of people asking me, it was like, oh, everyone's saying Denver won the practice. And I was like, I mean, I didn't know that was a thing, but okay.
Right. It's something about, you even said it a minute ago, Kevin, when you're playing Pictionary with your wife and her friends.
I want to win.
And yeah. You're not getting paid for that.
No, I get you.
But there's something about having this innate desire to win, and no matter what it is. And today, we're showing up, and we're no matter when. Jason Garrett always had that mentality, but the Tom Landry teams lived it. They really did. Jimmy Johnson's teams, they did live it. Look, today is not going to be your day. Sorry about your bad luck.
Yeah.
And that's how I want this team to be, man. That's exactly what I want out of this team. All right, Cowboys are great this year if.
If you get anywhere near a replication of the turnovers and turnover scores, like, and I mean great, is I'm 80% even. 80%.
Even from the offensive side too, like the turnover, you're negative. You were positive in the turnover ratio last year.
Part of the reason, because the defense was just destroying folks. And so if you can get 80 to 85% of that same defensive turnover ratio and that same defensive and special team scoring ratio, I do think you have the chance to be special. Now, I know that's a big if, and people will say, like, you can't really, kind of like we talk about relief pitching sometimes in baseball, it's hard to replicate that same amount of success. I'm not saying Trayvon Diggs specifically has to have 11 interceptions, but if you get a combination of Anthony Brown coming up in the world, like we've talked about, like Broadus has talked a lot about, on G-Bag Nation, if you get a combination of those things and a combination of those non-offensive touchdowns, I think you can put something together.
All right. Mike, do you have one?
Yeah, if all the other really great teams are hurt come playoff time.
Yeah, all right. Okay, you know what? I balance this out. Mike, you get this first question. The Cowboys are terrible if
they can't block.
Okay, that was a legitimate good answer right there. I thought you'd say something else, but that was, the Cowboys are terrible if, Kevin.
They continue to struggle with penalties, and the people we have health concerns about become health concerns.
Tyron.
Yeah, Tyron, Anthony Barr, Leighton Vander Esch. Like, these are all people who very recently or fairly recently have had health issues. And then all of a sudden, think about what you asked at the beginning about Micah Parsons. Okay, well, now this is your new scenario. Well, Anthony Barr is hurt again. Leighton Vander Esch is unfortunately hurt. Well, now I feel like I almost have no choice but to keep. And Jabril Cox has never stayed healthy on the professional football field. Well, now I essentially have no choice but to keep Micah Parsons. Even in the leanest of linebacker packages, I have almost no choice but to keep Micah Parsons out on the field. So I think penalties and predictable injuries. Not because I don't mean injuries like, oh, yeah, people have injuries in football. Like, I get that. But I mean predictable-ish injuries for the Cowboys.
I'm going to take a veer off the path a little bit here. I've often said that my favorite Ian Kinsler moment is against the Angels at their stadium. He catches a pop-up in foul territory. Looks down, a couple of fans look up at him, and they're like, hey, they're Angels fans, can I get the ball from you? And he looks at them and shakes his head no and runs back to the dugout. And I just thought that was like, man, that dude's competitive as heck. And I love, like, he wouldn't even give an Angels fan a baseball.
Didn't he, like, get in a fight with John Lackey during batting practice against the Angels?
So tomorrow the Rangers.
That's the level of competitiveness you wanted yesterday.
Yes. And so tomorrow, the Rangers are going to be honoring Ian Kinsler and John Blake, by the way, not throwing them in the Hall of Fame. That sounds like they're going to the Slammer.
Right.
But they're putting them in the Hall of Fame, in the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame. Do you have a moment, an Ian Kinsler moment, that stands out for you? Because that's one of them for me, but I have one other one too.
Okay, this might be wrong and such not the one to pick.
I think because this one comes to mind. I'm not gonna say it, but okay. I think the same one comes to mind in my head.
I oddly respected it when he went scorched earth on the way out the door. This is not an on-field moment, but like people are like, "Oh, you shouldn't burn bridges." He was like, "F that! I'm burning this piece of S to the ground." And I remember that.
I can remember his cycle. I believe it was on Jackie Robinson Day, if I have the day right. But I can just remember. I didn't think of that one. I can just think of his reaction when he popped the ball up. It was such a discouraged, like, throw the bat down. Like,
I almost wanted him to start doing Willie Mays Hayes push-ups right then.
I know that's not the positive thing. Ian was an awesome player and deserves this, and it's awesome. But sometimes I can just remember his reaction when he popped up the ball.
Well, and that did become kind of a thing around here was we would say call him Mr. Pop-Up. You know, it became a, man, why does he – it's part of his swing. It's the way he would, but he did pop up what seemed like an absorbent amount of times. The other moment, though, I do remember, I think it was game three. No, maybe it was game two. The Rangers, they ended up winning like a 2-1 game in the World Series against St. Louis. And it was a stolen base late in the game that he got that helped them kind of get to that point. He and Elvis Andrus on the base paths were what I loved watching those guys run. And Wash was like, let's be aggressive on the base paths. I loved that, man. So
he was a good player. I know, like, I get it. Like, we were talking about, it gets lost to the pop-up sadness. He was Mr. Warning Track for some people, or him just burning it to the ground on the way out. But he was a good player.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I remember also he got really mad because in 2009, nobody was going to the games because they hadn't established themselves as a winner. And he was mad and publicly said how mad he was at the Ranger fans for not going to the games in September when they had a chance to make the playoffs. They ended up not making the playoffs. I think they won 87 games that year. And then the next year they went to the World Series. But I remember him going, screw this town. Like, show up to the games. We got a chance to make the playoffs.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with FC Dallas's newest acquisition, Sebastian Legette. Plus, Masterpiece of the Week. It is the fastest segment in all of radio. And guess what? It happens next right here in The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hoping we get the chance to talk with Sebastian Legette, the newest acquisition for FC Dallas, in just a minute. And also, I know that his girlfriend, Becky G, was out and excited to get her own jersey and see Sebastian's name up at the stadium. I saw a TikTok that somebody sent me of that. So hopefully we'll get the opportunity.
Somebody sent it to you.
Somebody did.
I don't know who this Becky G is. I'm going to go look at Instagram and see if I can.
I feel like you do know.
I don't know what you're talking about
who
here.
She was on at Full House.
Becky G is. No, that's a different.
Becky G.
That's a different thing. By the way, just real quick. And we're going to have Masterpiece of the Week as well. Did you see that some of the ESPN analysts are fairly bullish on the Dallas Mavericks when it comes to this year?
They predict.
All right. So.
Didn't see this.
Who will win MVP? Second Luka. On the list is Luka.
Oh, hold on. I think second on the list should be Christian Wood, then Luka number one.
I do not see him in the top 10. I hate to tell you.
Did you have to look for that?
You
for
know
real?
What's really sad? I did scroll down just to make sure. Like, in what universe was Christian Wood going to be in the top 10? But I looked just to be sure. Is he's tied with Joel Embiid for second for MVP voting behind only Giannis. And now think about this. You will take that to the next category. Coach of the Year, Jason Kidd, is fourth behind the head coaches for the Celtics, Clippers, and Heat. So just think about the way this is going. So Luka's second MVP.
Uh-huh.
Kidd, fourth for Coach of the Year.
Was Sean Sweeney fifth for Coach of the Year?
Last year we finished like in third place.
He was not.
Okay.
Is who will win Sixth Man of the Year? Spencer Dinwiddie is sixth on that list.
That's interesting.
Isn't he starting or?
Yeah, there's a lot up in the air on that. But wouldn't you I guess Dorian and Bullock are both starters, but I consider them like sixth men in this respect because Luka like is five and then everybody else kind of comes next after that. So it is interesting.
I thought it was pretty cool is that in terms of the top 10 or even the top six, the Mavericks are represented for Sixth Man of the Year, Coach of the Year, MVP. Does that make it feel like, because we've heard some doom and gloom with Brunson leaving and everything, does that make it feel like perhaps there's more optimism for the Mavericks elsewhere?
I guess so. I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like most people feel like they're going to be a good team, but just not good enough.
Okay.
You never know. Maybe at the trade deadline, there's something that takes it to another level. But right now, I think most people would say Mavericks are good, Western Conference Finals would be another unbelievable accomplishment, probably further than most people think they'll get. But if they win a playoff series this year, I think people would be like, yeah, I can see that happening again.
If Brunson wouldn't have left, do you think that would have shifted with the Wood move for almost nothing that everyone had been like, yeah, I think we should get back
this
to the Western
team
Conference.
This team just added, Finals. You know, like instead of losing, they just, all they did was add this summer.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're the same?
No, because I don't think... I might be a lot different on this. I don't think we're going to miss Jalen that much. I really don't.
Really?
Yeah, I think that this team is going to be different this year. I think there are going to be some different aspects about it. And I think you're going to end up, by the end of the season, Mavs fans are going to end up loving what they have with Luka and this group that's big and athletic and strong. Like, they're going to really enjoy some of those things. And you're going to look at some of the deficiencies you had defensively with Jalen on the court and go, that's not there anymore. So I do think that there are going to be times when it's going to be different. And you know what? You're right, man. Against Utah, you don't win games in the playoffs without Jalen Brunson doing what he did.
Sure.
I'm also hoping, fingers crossed, Luka isn't in position to be not in those games. I can't say the word injury, so I'm not saying it.
Now, but running across the rest of the awards, who will win Rookie of the Year? Paolo Banchero got 50% of the first place votes. Chet Holmgren is second with 17% of the first place votes.
Where's Jaden Hardy?
Jaden Hardy, I hate to tell you, is not in the top 10.
What about Jaden Ivey?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to pretend it's Jaden Ivey, he's third.
Okay.
So there's that.
They're sleeping on him.
They might have watched him play summer league basketball and said, oh no. That did not go well.
Defensive player of the year. There is a tie in terms of first place votes between Rudy Gobert and Bam Adebayo, with Giannis next up on the list. And most improved player in all of the lands. Third place?
Josh Green.
It's not Josh Green.
We need that to happen.
Luka.
Jalen Brunson. Holy crap. If Luka is the third most improved player, he'll win unanimous MVP. Jalen Brunson, third on the list for most improved, followed by Tyrese Halliburton, and first on the list, the newly minted movie star, Anthony Edwards, number one on the list for most likely to be most improved. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, how about some Masterpiece of the Week?
She said, list this.
Hello.
Hey, Reggie.
Hello, Reginald.
Oh, do we have to talk fancy-like?
No, not at all.
What's all this about Masterpiece of the Week?
Oh, porridge, sir.
What's the audio?
Man.
I love it. Straight to the point.
I thought Mavs would get Mike invested. I thought Masterpiece of the Week would get him invested.
I was really hoping we'd talk to FC Dallas. I'm just kind of down right now.
Just the club in general.
Can we stay after the show and see if we can just interview all of them?
You sure can.
Yeah. Let's make it happen.
Are there like 37 players on the team?
Oh my God. 22? Please play a clip for God's sake.
Masterpiece of the Week is a segment we do every week in which we revisit some of the funny, stupid, or odd things that have been said on the program. Sometimes by Mike. But other people make valiant efforts like this, Corey, when you did this. Mike did also start this off.
When in the world are the Seahawks going to win with Geno the pizza maker Smith?
I thought for sure he was going to say Petrolli.
His name's a Geno.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Geno's pizza.
That's okay to do. Is it okay to do a Italian voice?
What do you tell me?
Yeah.
You tell me.
Do you feel okay about Italian? What part?
My mom's side.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty big side.
Just do it and tell people to deal with it.
I don't think that's a good way of going about things.
I also do not think radio host says just deal with it once again. He remains under fire.
The name is a Gino.
Why would you do it?
What's the most Italian name?
Petrolli.
No.
Luca.
Luca. Well,
Luca's,
but Luca's Slovenian.
Luca's pretty Italian.
Luca Brazzi.
Mario, Luigi.
Are you just doing Super Smash Bros.
I feel like you're not helping
Gino
with this. Is this offensive? And then you're like, oh, Mario, Luigi, all of the Mario brothers. Also, was it Mario? Like, did we ever get to the bottom of that? It was Luigi Mario and Mario. That was their names.
What?
They're the Mario brothers.
Uh-huh. What about it?
Isn't that their last name?
Their last
then?
Name was Mario.
What about Giuseppe?
What was Mario's name?
Mario.
Like Lopez. Ivan?
Yes.
His last name was Brothers.
Back to you, Reggie.
Thanks. Let's move it along here.
Mariana is the most popular women's Italian name.
Okay.
Patrice is second.
A wonderful name.
Patrice is Italian?
Oh, man.
What a lie.
That's what it says. I'm just reading on justlearn.com.
I think that is the
Italy
definitive
name,
source.
Italian names and meanings.
I think it's fakenames.com.
You said justlearned.com?
Alessandro.
Alessandro's an Italian-ass name.
I don't know why I thought that's that was point. So funny.
Andrea, that's a man's name.
Bordelci.
Like Andrea Bolcini.
Is that a name?
I don't know. I think it's the same.
Andrea or
right,
Andrea.
Back to you, Reggie.
Thanks.
Carlo.
Corey, what the hell were you talking about?
If you're going to cup everything else, yeah. Why not cup your butt and then the stuff in the front?
Mm-hmm. So a athlete was cupped. So his body would be okay.
I do remember that.
That was disgusting. The football player.
Yeah.
But again, why would you cup all the muscles on your back, not cup your? He had a towel on his butt cheeks.
No, I think you're right.
You have the gluteus maximus and the gluteus minimus.
I'm not sure if that's actually what it's called.
Minii. And they're two muscles across your buttock.
I think
and
it's more than two.
Don't you want those to be cupped as well so that you can be?
I'm all for cupping butts.
Yeah.
Know?
Was it Landry? Jarvis Landry?
Kevin presented the story, so
I
I'll leave the facts up to him.
I think that might be right. God, Lee,
I almost don't want to look it up because I'm scared to look at that picture.
Yeah.
Again.
But then again, I don't know that I've ever seen. Do people cup their abs?
It is Jarvis Landry.
I thought you were going to say a different word there.
Why wouldn't they cup their abs or their groin? You have a bunch of muscles and you're growing.
I wish I would not have looked at that.
How do you
Jarvis
say it?
Groin? Groin.
Groin?
It's groin.
It's how a you diphthong,
say it?
Isn't it?
How do you say it, Mike?
Growing.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be like, you ever never seen that show, Groin
Deal
Pains?
With it.
Jan.
Yeah.
Ian. All right. You would cup your front side.
Oh, I didn't sound it out correctly.
Polly is a good.
Deal with it.
Tony. Tony's a good.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, now we're
about.
Doing. Tony is Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
How
Antonio.
Many clips have we played so far?
Two.
Okay.
Let us make it a third where Mike made some admissions about himself.
I'm a pathetic shooter. I'm a pathetic rebounder. I'm a pathetic dribbler. I'm a pathetic passer.
Dang, Mike.
I think you should be more positive about yourself, Mike.
That was the assistant to the regional manager. Except instead of it being Schrute, it's Powell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clyde, besides that, he's great at man, can he set a pick? $11 million for a pick setter.
I feel like that could be a fun future game show. Who is Mike badmouthing? And like
well,
you
that's
just
not a fun game because you just keep going Dwight Powell, you win.
You just play that clip.
You're
like,
probably right, Reggie.
Here's who it is.
Probably right.
Or
I'd hope he'd
McGee.
Prove me wrong, but he's almost 40 years old.
He's 30, right?
Closer to 40 than zero.
Oh, well, I guess that's true.
Yeah, it is true. It's a fact.
Kevin and Corey were excited about something here.
Did you know, if you ever had like the dorm room with a smaller mailbox, you were like, oh, I got the key. That means there's a bigger package.
Something big's
today.
Coming on the way.
That was innocent on my part. I feel like you turned that into something dirty.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Fantastic. Mickey Spagnola, again, our continuous game with Mickey now. Did he do this on purpose?
Yeah, he did. And if they need some slobber knocker in there.
That, I know that is a wrestling term.
What does it mean?
It's going to be a big old fight. Slobber knocker.
When you get hit, you're knocking slobber out of somebody's mouth. Is that what
it
means?
That's right.
Slobber sounds like a weird word.
It is a funny word.
Why would, like, how did slobber become a thing?
I always liked doing my grandpa. I'd be watching the Mavericks with him. He'd say he slobbered at home. Like when you're watching basketball and it kind of rolls around the rim and everything like that, but then finally goes in. He called it a slobbered it in.
Oh,
that makes me uncomfortable.
Oh,
just like your tongue going around your lips.
Yep, even more so. And you
now
know
you
what?
Slobber.
Thanks for that, Mike. Corey also made me uncomfortable with this.
As we are driving by where we would never
Blood
eat
Rutgers.
At.
No, Wiener Schnitzel.
No.
Did you see the four-way meat market?
There's a place called the four-way meat market.
Not far away from Nancy's number two.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't believe any of this, by the way.
No, this is for real. It's Oxnard.
What, you just pretend like you're in the beginning of Entourage? It's Queens Boulevard. It's Oxnard.
Believe it.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Everything that you could ever imagine
It's not in Oxnard. I've been there.
Tell you what, they're not short on alcohol there, though.
Liquor store everywhere.
More liquor stores or meat markets?
Liquor stores.
Liquor stores and cannabis shops.
Nice.
Oh.
Lots of both. Next door to each other.
Oh.
So you can get cross-faded, as the kids say.
Stop saying.
Which kids?
Marshawn Lynch.
The kids that grew up in my
No.
era. Oh, dang.
I'm so disappointed in Marshawn. But let's keep it moving.
He joked about how he stole the car.
Do you know Leonardo's an Italian name that means brave lion?
Yes.
I did not know
What does Carmine mean?
It's not on here.
Right.
Mario means Roman god of war or Mars.
Huh. Oh, well, I guess that makes sense when you take it back to that room. Anyways, Corey did and said this.
Man.
Yeah, I don't think that you can just run around on that thing like a regular surfboard. But yeah, you just unhook your feet from whatever straps are. You unstrap it. You unstrap it. And then you just collect your parachute.
And then do you strap it on when you
want to
go back out?
No, no,
no. I forgot Bobby's in there.
Freaking Bobby Bell. What an instigator he
That's
is.
That's those kite flying surfboard board guys.
Surfboard board.
Surfbirds.
Do you want to do that?
No, I'm scared to death of doing that. Yeah, they're way out in the ocean.
I know.
If the kite goes down, you go down.
Plus, we saw that video of that whale jumping up out of the water and eating two people on a kayak.
Oh, my God.
And then saying, not tasty enough, spit them out.
So the wind stops blowing. How do you get it back up?
How different do you think your life would be? I know we were talking about how different baseball players' lives would be if they got hit in the head. But how different do you think your life would be if you're on a kayak and a whale ate you? And for like...
Just swallowed you.
15, 20 seconds, you were in a whale.
All right.
Like Jonah.
There's two things about that. One, either I would be terrified and I would never go near water again. Or two, I would feel indestructible and like laugh in the face of danger. I'd be like, I got eaten by a whale and I'm still alive.
You're like Aquaman.
Yeah. God, I'm just watching that video now. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
That whale ate those kayakers.
Just came up out of the water. See ya.
Like, if you're another kayaker, do you set the world record for getting the hell out of there? You're like, not today. Because you don't want to get eaten by a whale next.
That's true.
Whale tail.
And finally, Mike's just spits truth.
Now that's all I think about whenever it comes to competition.
Christie's the prize.
Yeah.
Living is a competition.
That's our quote for the day, ladies and gentlemen. That's my winner. I know the four-way meat market was great, but when you can put something that can be a that's a tattoo right there. Living is a competition. That's a slogan you can banner your house with right there.
And I don't know if this is fair for the game, but now I'm thinking about all of the things that Mike said after that. When he was just like, he didn't just offhandedly say that. He was like, you know what the prize is? You get to live longer. And we just went on and on and on about that. I will also vote for Mike saying that living is a competition.
Michael?
There's so many to choose from.
Correct.
He wants you to play them all again.
I'll choose the second one.
The second? What does that mean?
That was the cupping.
Oh, because that was also what I was going to vote for, so fantastic.
Did he know? Hold on! Did he know that was the second one? I think he just said the second one. He was like, I have no freaking clue.
877-881-1053 if you think that Mike knew what the second one was.
Chance. Sorry, Reggie. Go ahead and play it again.
If you're going to cup everything else, why not cup your butt and then the stuff in the front?
Mm-hmm. I still
can't. There's no chance Mike knew.
That was by far the best one.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellows from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. I want to remind you, tomorrow you need to be locked into the Fan. KG and Bobby Belt will be rolling with their show from 1 to 5 p.m. Then Dallas Cowboys, Denver Broncos pregame starts at 5 with the kickoff at 8:05. All of that on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105 Through the Fan. And now, D&M Leasing brings to you our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome. Heggy, how are you?
I'm doing outstanding. Thank you for asking. I want to know from Dawson and Broadus, what are your thoughts about the critique level that Mike Bacsik brings to the table on the Little League World Series?
It's awful. It's disgraceful.
Thank you.
It's amazing. He's yelling at an umpire, and then he's yelling at a kid for trying to bunt his way on because he probably couldn't hit.
But, attaboy. See, yeah, look, take control. Center fielder said, you're in left field for a reason. Get out of the way.
How many viable positions do you think there are in baseball that you don't judge? Is it pitcher, shortstop, center fielder, maybe catcher?
That's you. You work your way up the middle. You put your best guys up the middle, and then you pray they don't hit it to the corners.
As somebody that played Little League Baseball, I'm a little offended by Mike, you know?
Yeah.
But I understand.
What position were you then?
Third base.
Okay.
A vacuum, too. And those are short lines, by the way, Mike. You had to have quick reflexes down there.
Yeah.
You know?
He dismisses anybody like Jared or you that didn't play baseball.
He looks down. You know? He's like, so? You weren't a big league player. Yeah. You were essentially doing nothing.
Hit somebody in the head, you jerk.
Might have been jumping in muddy puddles like Peppa Pig out there. I think you're an athlete.
Out there playing with ladybugs and stuff like that. Yeah, right,
zero Mike? Errors my 12-year-old year, by the way, Mike.
Well, they hit give zero errors in Major League Baseball. Now, like, oh, it's a ground ball. That took two hops at 90 miles an hour, base hit.
Man, I remember the year that my son played baseball. It was a 5-run limit per half inning. And I thought any inning in which we didn't score 5 runs, I was like, well, we just lost the game. Like, if you only scored 4, I was like, we're 100% going to lose this game now. One time a kid turned a double play because he was standing on first base with his glove open, and the ball got hit right into his glove. And there was a kid who already ran off first base, and he got a double play. And I was like, well, crap. We're going to lose.
Hey, Mike, two of the three general managers that I know would take Dak over Trevor Lawrence.
I'm shocked by that. Now, you say woo, but you would take Trevor Lawrence over Dak,
no, I
right?
would, but I also didn't think that everybody would pick Trevor Lawrence.
I guess I would just because I just don't think the talent is close. I don't think they're close in talent. But I understand that Dak would give you a better chance in 2022, I think, right? I mean, it matters how much Trevor Lawrence improves, but I just think Trevor Lawrence's talent is top 10% in the game of football. So if you took the top 5 most talented quarterbacks, I would say Trevor Lawrence fits in that category. 6 foot five, 6 foot six, can fly as a runner, can throw the ball everywhere around the field, powerful arm. But there's a different level in the NFL that he has to get used to, and his talent around him is arguably the worst in the NFL. But I just think talent-wise,
that's what one of the my general manager buddies said here, and I'm quoting him. He says, "I think I would go with Trevor, even though I was underwhelmed with Trevor's rookie year. That place was an S show. So giving him a little bit better, give him a little bit of a pass." Just easier to make sure there are more pieces on both sides of the ball to help the quarterback and have a complete team when the quarterback's on a rookie contract, though, too, he was mentioning.
I mean, you know with Dak, you're getting pretty much a top 10 guy. You're hoping with Lawrence that he's more than that. And it's really hard. Like, you can have all those traits, but if you can't process quick enough or make good enough decisions, it doesn't matter how tall or fast or good your arm is.
I understand, but I guess I watched every pass he made last year. Literally on YouTube, I'd watch every pass that he threw last year. And freaking Laquon Treadwell was taking out his own other wide receivers on routes. Yeah, that's how stupid he is at football. And I'm not saying that was all. Trevor Lawrence did make some bad decisions. I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence made all good decisions and Trevor Lawrence was good. But to me, Dak's never going to win a Super Bowl. He's not good enough. I have to have a championship defense around him. I have to have an unbelievable offensive line and ball control. Now, it's happened in the NFL. I mean, teams have won with Joe Flacco. Teams have won. And he's better than Joe Flacco. I don't want people to get this wrong. But we had on FC Dallas owner.
Dan Hunt.
And Dan was like, look, you have to have a top eight quarterback in this NFL if you really want to win a Super Bowl or be considered a Super Bowl contender. If you don't think your guy's top eight or in that top eight, you're kind of spinning your wheels. And to me, I'm to the point now where I've seen enough Dak. I think he's right on the borderline of eight, like maybe eight if you want to really be optimistic with him. And so I think Trevor Lawrence can be number one. I don't think he'll get to your point. I don't think he'll get to the best quarterback in the NFL, but I think he has the ability and talent to do it. Dak doesn't have it. He can't compete at that level with your Josh Allen's talent level, with your Justin Herbert talent level, with your Joe Burrow talent level that are younger than him. So I go, well, Trevor Lawrence, I think, has that talent. Will he exceed those guys or compete with those guys? I don't know.
The question I would ask, though, you guys, is can Dak do enough throwing the ball to help the running game? Does it have to be the offensive line? I mean, can Dak make enough throws in order? Because there's people there's people I've talked to that said, listen, you guys, all you scream about is this offensive line. What if it's on Dak? Didn't that happen last year?
Didn't that happen where the passing efficiency was so good?
That's what I'm asking.
They're dropping and rushing four and still stuff your run.
The first 8 weeks of the season, right, there was a little bit Dak was on and they were able to run the ball because they were able to block. But there's people telling me, it's like, listen, if Dak is good enough to make defenses play him differently, it might help your running game instead of trying to put it all on an offensive line.
When Denver started saying, we're not going to let you throw deep, and that changed everything?
I don't know. I'm just, like I said, I want to believe that the offensive line's the reason why you didn't have success. I just thought it was interesting that somebody else in this league says, you know, you're looking at it the wrong way. Dak Prescott's the one that needs to help the running game, not the running game help Dak.
I guess the way that I would see it, if Dak were to be this, and I don't think he's talented enough to do it, to be honest, in my opinion, is Peyton Manning got rid of the ball quick. And when Peyton Manning hit a guy on a 5-yard route, it was just perfectly in stride where the guy, if he's running 20 miles an hour, he doesn't have to slow down to 8 to catch the ball. He's going to keep running at 20 miles an hour. So now I've just turned a quick 5-yard pass into a 15 to 25-yard play. I feel like with Dak, he's accurate enough that we got the 5 yards. But he has to go down to catch the ball. He has to slow down, and when he slow down to catch the ball, now the cornerback makes up that one step that he was behind, tackles him. Now it's a 7-yard completion. It's like, hey, man, it's great. It's 2nd and 3. But I think the best quarterbacks in the league turn those 5-yard plays and lets those guys turn it into a bigger play. And sometimes you go, but you only threw it for 5 yards. It's like, yeah, but he threw it perfectly for 5 yards, so the guy could keep running really fast.
They had a nice play the other day where they threw the ball to Schultz on a drag, and it took Leighton Vander Esch out of the play. I thought it was a pretty good design how they did it, but he threw the ball in front, and then Schultz was able to get up the field. And somebody on Twitter goes, "Oh, there we go, another check down." I'm like, "No, did you see? Like, Dalton Schultz was wide open here. That was a pretty good design right there to get him up the field.
Like John Stockton could throw the ball into Karl Malone as Malone posts up. That's Dak. Magic Johnson would pull it out of the hoop and throw like a three-quarter court bounce pass to a running James Worthy for an easy layup. You know, both are completed passes. Yeah. One gave his team an easy bucket. The other one, the guy got the ball and then had to do all the work with Karl Malone.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. It's Friday. Start day drinking now. We're going to do what you're drinking, what you're thinking a little early. Starts at 5:20.
He said I could.
Yeah, all right.
I will, I guess.
Roll
Get home first, Corey.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Good deal.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us on Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say, good luck, Kevin.
Thanks, buddy. See you soon, Noah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.